Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and how the turns have tabled, Mr. President. And with me, I have...
Get fucked, patient zero. Enjoy the lung damage. I hope it was all worth it.
And...
Ha-ha! You got the Rona.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful cosmic irony.
Oh, Karma is a motherfucker. Karma's finally saying, you know what? I'm gonna do y'all a favor. I know y'all been some shit. But I'm gonna help y'all out.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm saying it goes by many names, but I like to go to the double toasted school of thought and call it the Rona!
It could happen. It's too beautiful for words. And but once it does happen, I think I know how I'm going to celebrate. With the J Balvin meal, courtesy of McDonald's.
Another
big celebrity meal.
It's not so much a meal as it is a promotion, but I guess if it worked one time, it might as well work the second time.
So who's gonna be next? Who's gonna be next? This goes again. Like, who's gonna go? Like, they come make like at the baby meal or something.
A Megan Thee Stallion meal.
Now, curious of that.
No, I'm not gonna lie. The J Balvin meal at least falls in line with something that I would order at McDonald's because, personally speaking, I fucking hate pickles on my sandwiches, whether it be the Max of Big or the Pounders of Quarters. Plus, I do like Oreo McFlurries. I am a very basic man of basic taste sometimes.
Yeah, we should probably make our own, like, own meals, like our own Decibel Boost meals.
Okay, the Rob meal, it's going to be a double quarter pounder with cheese, with bacon and jalapenos, large order of fries, Coke, no ice, because it already comes cold out of the dispenser anyway, so what do you need the ice for? And either a guava and cheese cream pie, because, you know, they sell those down here in Florida, or a McFlurry.
Okay. I was wondering why you said guava. It's like, oh, it's some where you live. I was confused by that for a
moment. It's a Florida thing.
And also, you said big jalapeno, because anything what I said, what else to come, my version of the Big Mac?
Well, that was a Big Mac, though. This is a double quarter pounder.
That could probably be your thing, though,
if you prefer it on that their thinly sliced patties. Who knows, maybe you can make yours a double Big Mac and it has four patties.
That sounds definitely a good idea.
Hire us, McDonald's, we got ideas. But anyway, here we are, episode 193, so how's everyone's week been going?
Well, more than usual. Which is okay, I guess. My adventure to finding that mighty hot sauce at McDonald's finally paid off. And, guys, why do you use so much vinegar in your sauce as a base? It takes up too much of the flavor. Don't do that. Yeah.
It's one of those sauces, eh?
Okay.
That's every sauce at McDonald's. Too much vinegar. I don't like vinegar. It's just, no, that takes away too much of the flavor. It makes everything just, drowned out, or whatever the term is. I've just been reveling in the deep, deep contagion of the new hotspot. And, well, if it isn't the consequences of my actions. This is what happens when you live in an alternate reality and decide to ignore everyone and everything and try to live off that machismo that people love to go on about. Oh, God almighty. Also, I've taken a deep dive into the world of Devin Townsend once again by listening to the entire Contain Us series of albums, and it's hard to imagine the same guy who wrote E.A.H. also wrote The Mighty Masturbator.
His music is a wonderful mad hellscape.
Yeah, in various ways.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Funny you mentioned COVID because I told y'all like after before the court. Me and my family, we went and took a COVID swab test. Thankfully, we're all negative. You know, I like Mr. Orange fucker over there. Which, oh, I am so relieved. And especially you that, yeah, please, yeah, follow protocol, wear your mask, social distance. If you have to go somewhere, like, try and follow those rules. And you just don't do much. But yeah, that happened. And oh yeah, that's right. Someone turned 30 a couple days ago.
Ah, so we've heard. Now you're Mac 30 hybrid media. It's okay. Someone has to be the oldest here.
Yeah, I am the oldest in here.
Look, it's an unfortunate technicality of how time works.
Yeah, it's true. But at least Haley's in the 30 and 30 during this time.
Fair enough. Anyway, as for me, not much. Just dealing with classes and work and all that good stuff. And of course, marathoning Resident Evil games because now it's spooky October times and that's just what I felt like doing. But aside from that, we, you know, don't have much else to talk about. So we're going to dive into the usual business. Thankfully, this is one of those weeks where we could take it easy with news because last week kind of ran a little long.
After doing some 2 hours of something that we did only like a fifth of, at least a fifth in some mentions, we need a short episode this time around.
And my voice still hasn't fully recovered yet either, so taking it real easy here.
Just got a collection of songs that we got to talk about here, the new song discussion. So of course, as always, there will be a link down in the description so you can follow along with the various tracks here and pick up some new tunes. Of course, since we skipped it last week, we are starting with the return of Bedroom Covers courtesy of 2 Minutes Too Late Night. This week, we have a cover of Alice in Chains' Rain When I Die from the seminal album classic Dirt. Now, I don't gotta tell you much about the original song. I mean, if you know anything about metal or 90s music, you know Dirt. You know Alice in Chains. Dirt is one of the greatest albums of the decade. Probably one of my favorites of all time. Definitely one of my favorites of all time. Why did I have to cast doubt on that? And, of course, the original song is a pretty slow, dirty, dingy ballad classic of its ilk. And so, for your lineup here, as always, Gorsenio tackling that there groovy bass line, with the rest of the lineup consisting of Mike Sullivan of Russian Circles on guitar, Bran Daler of Mastodon on drums and backing vocals, Justin Suter of Painted Wives on vocals, and Steven Brodsky of Mutoid Man and Cave-In on guitar. As for how it updates the song, well, it slots in firmly with the generally sludgier approach of the 2 Minutes House style, although the relatively slow and at times maybe imprecise grooves of the original are definitely tightened up a bit here thanks to Brand's drumming style, complete with the non-stop assault of fills at every other pocket of the song, because, you know, it's a Brand Daler drum track, that's what he does. Like I said, he fills in on vocals, well, more backing vocals alongside Justin, who, the two of them, make for a pretty solid approximation of the Lane Staley-Jerry Cantrell vocal dynamic. Also, it's worth noting the song has this really weird bridge in the middle that interpolates not just this sort of black metal-ish blast beat segment, but also Spoon Man by Soundgarden. Complete with Brodsky slamming spoons on his guitar.
Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one who noticed that. Yeah, I think that was their, I think the word was panache that they put into the song to make it a little more unique.
Yeah, you know, just having a bit of goofy fun, as the guys over there tend to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess it's fitting that both grunge and sludge rhyme, because this is some sludgy grunge goodness right here. It's very good, very dark, very ominous, very emotional, with a vocal performance that would actually mirror Lane Staley, God rest his soul. And speaking of sludgy...
Yeah, so Moving on to the next track. A while back, we discussed a quote-unquote mini LP from the Justin K. Broderick project, Jesu. Well, it turns out he's actually got a new full-length on the horizon, coming out next month, November 13th, called Terminus. And so we have the lead single from the album here, When I Was Small. And compared to the more synthetic leanings of that EP, this one has a more stripped-down, natural instrumentation approach. The drums are repetitive, but they're still like an actual, you know, drum playing as opposed to like a drum machine, with the atmosphere being carried solely by that, these droning, moody guitars, and of course Justin's vocals being very reverb heavy and moody in the mix. It's, you know, this, I need to dive into Jesu at some point, because I think they had some more synthetic stuff in the early days, so I don't know how this pans out, but it makes for a decent vibe, if nothing else.
Yeah, there's a solidly melodic shoegaze element to this track, with the low, rumbling guitar chords carrying out the pulse all throughout, and it's rather hypnotic with how it lures you in. It's good.
Right, now time to move on to the next track here, which involves Japan, and also Amy Lee from Evanescence. So, Alex, care to take the lead?
Yeah, okay, so I'll be very upfront. I don't know thing one about this group, Wagaki band, so, sorry, I don't know much about them, I couldn't tell you, I'm drawing blanks here. But I do know that this track stemmed from a one-off performance in Osaka, Japan back in February. It is Wagaki Band and Amy Lee, Sakura Rising. It's a combo of electric synthetic, rock, and Japanese percussive music to blend into a pretty solid pop-centric J-rock track with both the dual vocals in both English and Japanese. All with an animated video being yet another example of how shit this whole year has been for a lot of us. Because, you know, everything. But at least there's a bit of a positive, more uplifting, optimistic message to the whole thing. And God willing, we'll make it to next year a little bit smarter and a lot less awful.
Yeah, hopefully. But yeah, for the song itself, again, don't know much about Wagaki Band either, but it's got a decent, like, sort of Japanese symphonic folk metal vibe going for it. Amy Lee does play well off, you know, the atmosphere of the song and everything, and yeah, it's alright. I might dive into Wagaki Band at some point. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, a couple weeks back, we talked about the 2020 XXL freshman class, as well as the Cyphers from the freshman class, so it seems like about as good a time as any for the artists from that to be, you know, dropping tracks to, you know, ride the waves of hype emitting from that. So, we got a collab track here between rappers 5EO Foreign and Polo G, called Bop It. You know, like that toy you used to play with. And that I'm pretty sure tried to get a kid to murder someone in that one Robot Chicken sketch. That was a really weird
bit. Yeah, pull it. Yeah, smack it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, I'm just.
Yeah, and if you think that's just like a thing that like runs off in the lyrics, apparently the music video has a lot of like, you know, hip hop dancers and stuff dancing around in bouncy castles, playing Twister, Slip and Slide, messing around with water guns. It's kind of weird seeing them mess around with activities predominantly marketed at young kids. Although I will give credit, at least they remember to invite Kenny Beats to the party. He does the production.
Yeah, he does the production here. And it's kind of like him doing this drill style beat. Is like I said about probably from like a drill artist, particularly New York drill. And hearing Kenny Beats does this type of production, like, it's interesting hearing this type of production from him. But he does it well here. As for the rapping, if I had to say who's the better one, I'm gonna say Polo G. Polo G, at least his verse has more to do than just Fabio Foreign just going just like, you know, basically what you do with a bop it, but in positive with, you know, him getting girls.
I had to double check to make sure like 5EO even had a verse, because he was just ad libbing throughout the entire thing, and I mean, according to Genius, he technically had a verse, but again, it sounded indistinguishable from the chorus, whereas, you know, Polo G actually has, like, a presence with, like, flow and shit, so, you know.
Yeah. It's some good lyrics, too, like Shorty Banging, he young with a young soul, chain swinging, baguette with a rose gold. I might switch with the drip and Valone clothes, cap a lot, got the game in the stronghold, he probably 40 bucking like DMX, like, okay, yeah, that's was good. He's got a presence on here, but yeah.
Anyway, moving on to the next track. So, Touche Amore are dropping a new album this Friday called Lament. We've already talked about the lead-off single a few weeks back. And now we have the latest single here, presumably the last one before the album comes out, called Reminders. Complete with a music video that, aww, look at all the adorable doggos and caddos. They're so fluffy and adorable, and they're getting their belly scratched, and they're playing as you're listening to a song about how you need reminders of what matters most in life to prevent you from just ending it all when things look their bleakest. Yay! I mean, it's a Touche Amore song, so, like, of course you would expect the lyrics and, you know, the general vibe of the song to be that kind of, you know, morose melancholy. Although the instrumental actually has a bit more of an upbeat driving tempo to it, almost kind of vaguely pop-punkish, though still with that, you know, screamo malaise over top.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this track to be the musical centerpiece for a ton of people cuddling their dogs and cats, so that's something. The track is pretty solid, too, so not much to say about it.
Yeah. You know, we'll hear how the album shakes out by the end of the week. Anyway, moving on to the next track. Oh, hey, look, we got a new banger from Denzel Curry. And of course, it's a protest jam about how fucked everything has been. Well, not just this year, but the past 4 years, and honestly, probably longer than that. It's called Live from the Abyss. It's pretty much exclusive to Bandcamp. And it's worth noting all proceeds from the song throughout this month donated to an organization called Dream Defenders, which organizes against, you know, police brutality, war, deportation, and all that stuff that, you know, the dumbass in chief just absolutely adores.
Again, enjoy the lung damage.
Come on, COVID, please give us a freebie.
Yeah, what's that? But you know what the song's about. Like, you definitely know what the song's talking about, which because as an all-around with confidence, plotting on accomplishments, planning something radical in the cuss or anonymous. I don't fuck with the president trying to buck up Mexicans. If he hears this message, please don't send SWAT to my residence. These keep on killing us, hands up, and they start to shoot. Bad, I'm scared of them and afraid of my niggas too. I'm screaming black is beautiful, bruised, or probably anti-race. I can see the fear in your eyes when you look at my face. Yeah, that's pretty much like, don't you say anything else? Like, yes, to be definitely bangs. It is a reminder of what we all know a lot, and we know this shit a lot.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to the next pair of tracks here. I have no idea who the heck this Jimmy Edgar person is, but apparently they've picked up a couple of collaborators that we are familiar with at some capacity, hence why we're talking about it here. So, yeah, two songs here. First of these is called Metal, which isn't technically a metal song, but it does feature additional production work courtesy of Sophie. And, listening to the style for the first time, the immediate vibe I get is kind of like a slowed-down remix of, like, an Igloo Ghost jam, with the same kind of warbled synths that, like, bubble up in the mix with those blown-out, stuttering metallic beats creating that weird, spacey vibe with a kind of industrial alien ambiance to it. It does kind of slap pretty hard, which is, you know, certainly enough to get my attention with track number one. And then, of course, there's track number two, Get Up, which has similar sort of dark synthetic ambience, although with relatively more of a trap aesthetic that admittedly creates a unique vibe that gels well with the guest artist on this track, which is none other than Danny Brown!
Oh yeah, it's like I would say both these tracks have this sort of cartoony feel. I say more with Get Up with Danny Brown because the beat sounds like something you would hear in a cartoon or something like that. Like it's just that wacky, just that crazy. Metal hand does sound like a weird spacey piece of sci-fi track, which not maybe you mentioned Igloo Ghost, not maybe, but yeah, it does sound a bit like something that I I thought they would do. But yeah, this is a pair interesting and chaotic, wacky chaotic tracks. But yeah, it's pretty good stuff.
Yes, yes, it is. And moving on to the next track here. So it looks like Kaliuchis is working on a new album, which we don't have a name or even a targeted release date. But it seems like she's already gotten in on, you know, promoting it with new singles. Apparently there was one that came out a while back that I don't know if we talked about. But we have a new track here from that album called La Luz, which features guest vocals from someone named Jay Cortez. And judging from, like, the beat and, you know, the vocal style and the fact that it's in Spanish, we could probably assume that, like, the new album might be leaning in more of a reggaeton sort of direction. Maybe not to the saturated extent of someone like J Balvin, but it might be an influence there. I mean, I think that earlier single was also a Spanish language track, and I don't know what to say. I don't really have much to say about, like, her attempt on this, you know, reggaeton-esque kind of track, other than, I've heard better from Kaliuchis.
I mean, it sounds fine. I'm not gonna dispute because, like she said, like, it is, like, it says supposed to be her first full Spanish language project, which I'm guessing is going to be all in Spanish, which okay, I don't mind that. Embrace your head and all that shit. But it's, but when I got them, it was like, you know, I'm guessing it's sort of a, I won't say love song, considering listen to the audio on YouTube and see the visual of basically someone making out with tongues and all, which I'm guessing is all that, it sounds nice, I heard better from her, but it's sort of reggaeton that's, okay, it's fine, it's okay, even though I don't listen to that much, but it's just I.
And now moving on to the next track here, oh look at that, time for more Megan Thee Stallion. And she's definitely not letting the, you know, momentum of WAP slow down anytime soon, because she's got her own new song here that has a similarly comically absurd set of lyrics and even music video called Don't Stop, which features Mr. Young Thug as, you know, guest accompaniment. And, if there's one thing I've learned from this music video, it's that Megan Thee Stallion apparently really likes Tim Burton movies. Because the whole thing is fucking, like, drenched in references to shit like Alice in Wonderland, and even fucking Young Thug shows up as Edward Scissorhands, which, dear God, I hope he remembered to take those things off before fucking whatever, you know, whoever he decided to fuck next, because, oh dear God, the implications.
We'll say that Young Thug, at least he sounds, well, coherent here. Like, I don't, like, at least me, I didn't hear the usual, you know, squeaking squawky he usually does. Like, he sounds a bit more clearer. I mean, at least to me, at least when I heard it, I don't know. But this is one crazy ass video, which you got Megan getting ass spanked by the Cheshire Cat, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Which, okay, that's sort of weird image that I don't mind. I don't know what I'm saying. Well, like, the song's alright. Megan does what she does, and she does it very well. Very good, matter of fact. And yeah, her mental just keep on going. And gotta give her props for that shit. Yeah.
Yep. And now, for the last track here, we're just a few weeks out from the latest full-length project from the Gorillaz, compiling their various Song Machine releases into a Season 1 release coming out October 23rd. And so we have Episode 7 at this point, this being the collaborative track The Pink Phantom, which features the strange uniting of Elton John and Sixlack. Which, if I recall correctly, this may very well be the first time we've had to talk about Six Lack in an official capacity.
Pretty much.
Yeah, for the amount of fun we poke at his name, it's like, you know, I guess it was going to happen eventually.
Yeah, okay. I gotta say, like, for Six Lack's part, like, I know he's, like, a rapper and a singer. Like, I think he's more sing-song on this, and I gotta say, he's all right. He's all right. Like, he's very, very, like, he does okay vocals on here. Although I will say, while he's good, the better ones are obviously Elton John and Damon Albarn on vocals. Like, they do that shit really well. Really, really well. Like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Elton John's vocals and piano, as well as Damon Albarn's, you know, performance. They meld really well together with, you know, the kind of laid-back ambiance that Gorillaz oftentimes are, you know, known for. I mean, you can tell Six Flags is just kind of there because he's just there as, like, a, you know, the usual holographic, you know, CG presence in the video. Whereas Elton John, they actually bothered to animate him in the, you know, Jamie Hewlett gorilla style, which, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this might be the first time either in a while or maybe ever that, like, a feature artist on a gorilla song got animated in the gorilla style.
I think so. I mean, if I can recall, I think so. I mean, I can't recall any other people doing that shit. I mean, I know some artists been in the video, but not as themselves. But I'm just thinking. But yeah, this video, this one's a pretty, like, you know, another good piece of the song machine. And of course the fact that we could talk about the guy we always say wrong or just like to mispronounce or just fuck with, I don't know.
What are you talking about? It's totally pronounced Six Slack.
although I do want to, like, you know how, like, this one it had both 2D and Murdoch, and Murdoch presence with him trying to play the, I don't know, the, what is that, play the end, it's like, nah, he fucked up. And then the next time we see both Noodles and Noodles and Russell doing something, which, okay, I'm kind of wonder about that. If, you know, by the time they release it, I don't know, it'll be by the time the album will be already, but who knows.
We'll just have to wait and see what comes in, I don't know, whenever they do season 2. But, yeah, that does it for that and the new song discussion as a whole. No real news topics. So, we just got to discuss one last thing. The new album releases for the week of October 9th, 2020. As previously mentioned, the new Touche Amore album Lament drops this week. There's also a new album from Noise Rockers Metz with Atlas Vending. There's a new Famous Dex project called Diana. Apparently Blue Oyster Cult are releasing their first album in like 19 years with The Symbol Remains. You know, for those of you that still give a shit about Blue Oyster Cult. And of course there is that brand new Machine Drum album, A View of You. Anyway, now time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, in the Discord, Aura of Azure, where I lurk around and do stuff like other people do. Totally inconspicuous.
Yep. Mark, what about you?
As usual, Twitter, MacTavern Media, Instagram, Mac2.0, Discord, Mac2Hybrid. My website, mindhaveone.wordpress.com, which, of course, if you've been following the website, of course, you know, it's the anime season. There's a lot of shit. Like, there's a lot. Because I think I did something like 13 first impressions of maybe all since it began. Yeah, I do a lot.
Yes, you do. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, CuriousCat, at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Videos usually go up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel. So subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever new shit goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, @surrealreso. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, surrealresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, and all of that wonderful stuff. Be sure to jump into the Discord so you can propose your own themed McDonald's combo meals. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back with the album roundup later in the week and the usual week nonsense. So, until then, come on, Rona. You got this. Touchdown run. You only got 20 more yards to go. Yeah.